Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey,
hello.
So, what's going on in?
No, stop asking questions, you. I'm going to ask you questions because everyone thinks we don't ask him enough questions, Hector. So,
where is it all kicking off in Mayo with the?
With the way the football's gone.
With the hotels.
Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
Lord. Where is it?
I was in Ballinrobe New Year's Eve. I didn't hear a word about it. It's Ballinrobe.
Yeah. We need to start being more vocal, the three of us.
But you see, if you have an opinion now, you'll be shot down.
We should have an opinion. I'm starting to debunk people.
Debunk.
People who are in conversations with me, having conversations with people, and they say this, I say, well, what do you mean about that now? Can you just talk me through it? And then when you actually talk to them about it, they've just seen some Facebook page or they've seen some stupid article that's online. Like, our problem is now, if you go online...
Has the Ku Klux Klan moved to Mayo? That's what we're asking.
No, they've just moved. They seem to be transient. They move everywhere.
The Neil. They're just outside. They've camped.
They're moving everywhere.
Transient. Let's keep them out of it. No.
I just don't like these people and I don't appreciate what they're doing. And I was talking to people from Ballinrobe this morning who said it has absolutely nothing got to do with us. We're not involved in it. We're not supporting it. And it's not nice.
The funny thing I read was that it was, there's talks of 50 yeah. men
unvetted.
And they're only a stone's throw away from a creche. I mean, that's not right.
What the fuck, like, what does it even mean? How do we know it's 50 men? Like, does anyone actually know that? Like, it's all made up facts. I've unfollowed people and stopped being friends with people on Facebook because I can't listen to the shit anymore.
There could be
young
ones from Ballinrobe only dying for 50 men. Fine looking books to move into the town.
There's a load of them in Ballinan. There's a thing wrong with them.
That's it.
And I'll tell you what, there's ones that haven't been moved in either that are there that aren't great.
Should we be more vocal with our opinions on this podcast?
We should, yeah. I think we're being too lenient.
Right.
Although I don't like giving...
Have you been listening to the Free State podcast or something like...
I don't listen to any other podcast. But I'll tell you what I don't like. I just don't like people. I don't like vulnerable people being taken advantage of. I don't think. Anyway, I'm forgetting
about
us.
You've been that for years. Oh,
you're the Joan Burton of Irish podcast.
I wonder. No, do you know what my biggest problem was? Bloody representatives up there giving their opinion. You keep out of it. People have voted you into the council or whatever else it is. Stay out of it. It's none of your business. You don't represent these people. You represent the whole population or the people who voted you in. I have a good mind to ring someone and give a piece of my mind.
Larita, I like you. I like when you voice your opinion, Larita. And now, welcome to the open line here on THL FM.
Why can't we give
Who's
her...
Who's on the line?
Why don't we give her opinions?
Right, go on. Who's on the line?
I don't have any.
And no, the other thing then...
What about a bridge across the fucking Corrib?
The problem with giving your opinion to the... you're only giving light to these people who don't deserve it, so... Maybe we shouldn't say anything about
it. The world has gone mad. You can't voice your opinion out.
Just talked about nothing now for 5 minutes. So
it's bet out of you. So the people are just fed up because if you say it, and look at poor old Joey Barton in England.
Oh, I thought you were going to say.
Joey Barton.
Yeah.
Do you know Joey Barton? The ex-footballer.
Oh, yeah.
He's just giving out about all females on football, talking football. And it's... Anyway,
he's getting Jared on left, right, and centre.
But like, I don't know what we're living in. It's social media is driving an awful lot of it.
But the problem is you can have private conversations and you can give your opinion freely, but don't give it in public or you'll be in serious, like, people don't like to hear your opinion publicly, do they?
Do you like my boots?
Put them up a bit
They're
higher.
They're fucking quite sleeky, man. There's a little bit of New Romantic off them.
Oh my God.
They're a little bit ladylike.
Like, are they women's shoes?
There was a shop in Navan called Larry Gagan's. It was a woman's shop at the top of the town opposite Fitzsimons's. It's like you could buy a mother in Navan in 1977 could buy them in Larry Gagan's.
Would you like to describe them to the punters?
I would, yeah. They're women's shoes with zips up the front.
There's
of them.
A zip up the front. They look like a sleek boot that you'd buy in McElhenney's in that
are
boy.
They, are they knee-high ones? They look like...
I say knee-high.
They look like they should be knee-high.
Where did you get them?
They're nice, like.
They
but
look like somebody out of...
You should be wearing
pickers.
Leather trousers with them.
Yeah, the, Soho is the place for those
yeah,
boots.
Soho is the
Soho.
Place.
They're Soho Barnet. Boots.
Even though Barnet is very trendy.
They're like walking into the Groucho Club in Soho at about 3 in the morning going, do you look at me boots? Or who's your man? He's an actor. Look at his boots.
You should have a leather jumpsuit on with them.
I got them in the actor shop.
You got in Soho.
Did you?
I woke up one morning in the bed in Soho and whoever was riding the night before left them behind. So put them on.
Yeah, exactly. And that was...
They're sleek,
they're
Tom.
Feminine.
Yeah, it's the zip to make you think they're...
No, they're very skinny
you
towards your ankle.
When you stand up? Oh, yeah.
They're not...
There's a little bit of a recording the second album at the moment.
You need skinny jeans.
I'm like the 57-year-old bass player with the Stone Roses.
Yeah, you are. That's exactly what
classic.
You're... You need to wear a pair of skinny jeans of them.
You see, that's not Loretta, there's only one way to sum up what goes on in his life and my life. I'm going to show you my boots now. And this shows you the vast, vast
difference
between two lads who are so alike in so many ways.
But so different, yeah.
Look at him. Look at them Solomons. They're climbing.
They're workman boots.
Yeah, yeah. They're fucking. They're the winter boot.
They are winter.
They're Clare Galway.
I remember seeing the ad for them on National Geographic. That's for people walking
Solomon.
Down to Centra. Ray Fiennes walking down to Centra.
Yeah, it's like an ad for climbing Mount Everest. It's trying to get to Centra this morning at about -6. Tommy, that's the difference.
What's the benefit of them boots?
Those boots. If I told you the price of those boots, you would absolutely collapse.
They're kind of mountain
boots.
No,
I don't
do you understand these are the... These are,
what's the benefit of
these,
them?
These are expedition fucking boots, Tommy.
But
I
you
could,
don't live
I
in
could
an
climb
expedition.
Fucking
yeah.
Everest on these.
But you live in Clare Galway. There isn't even a mountain there. There isn't even a...
You
there
went
isn't
into
even
your ADA4 this morning and drove to Salt Hill. Like,
it's an A7 Quattro.
What is the benefit of the boots?
The boots, these are boots that'll fucking stand the test of time. They're Solomons. I can wear them in the jungles. I can wear them in Africa. I can wear them on the mountains. And I can wear them when it's -3 and I'm bringing a leaving cert to school this morning on his first day back.
Is it because they're keeping your feet warm?
Yeah, they are. They're warm.
Tommy's on the
and
other hand.
But
can
I
you even wear socks inside yours, Tommy? They're so skinny.
Does your missus ever object to what you wear?
Not in the slightest. She just lets me get on with it because she's gone most days to work. So I just dress warm and snugly. I don't dress like I'm backstage at the fucking Old Grey whistle test. Smoking a cigar or fucking Jules Holland, fuck's sake. But they are cool. I do like the way you dress.
Is this, I'm not sure about the zip.
The zip is a bit.
Why are we always talking about fashion on this show? But they are, we'll take a shot of these boots and we'll
the
take a shot of the other
boots.
The
zip is a bit like if there was at least a pair of laces.
Ah no, that'd be too
Tommy.
Orthodox.
Right, so you're not going to wear skinny jeans, but you probably will.
What about a pair of skinny leather jeans?
Yeah.
Yes.
I wouldn't have the
Jim
hips
Morrison
now to carry
and a velvet
off a pair
shirt.
A leather trousers now,
hips.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Why?
The hips. Because you need to be slim hipped.
But you tell me you're minute, like, you will be able to carry them off.
I will say that your first outfit on the Saturday night on the chat show was quite Blasket Islandy. It was Peg Sayers.
Peg Sayers.
It was Peg Sayers' uncle who lives out the back.
Tommaso Crohan, who rode into the island.
Did you see him? Yeah. And then he puts the hands together and he waits for someone to come round the corner. And then there's the... And when Dylan Moran came round the corner...
It was pure Navan that night.
Fucking hell. Dylan, what do you think?
He's got such an unusual accent.
What is? I think it's his, the dad...
It's almost aristocratic... At some point.
Yes, you get that from his mum, I think.
Yeah. The Morans are always classy.
Oh,
classy, yeah.
The Morans were always alternative.
I personally...
Do you remember the cousins? Was there a Janet Moran or was she an actress in Glenroe? There was good-looking cousins from out the road.
I just
the Morans.
The Morans had lived in a house off
Athlumney or the Boyne Road,
out past the Ramparts. And I remember they were always into poetry. His dad was always into poetry. Anyone who
the mother was a poet.
Oh, the mother was a poet. That's where they get the aristocratic.
Well, the mother was a poet.
Yeah, published poet as well. Yeah.
And then when you asked Dylan, what are you reading at the moment? And he goes, "Not, I don't know," but he said, "I've read everything." He said, "I've read all the classics and all the playwrights."
Yeah.
And he said to me, "You know that he's read it."
He said to me, "He remembers being in school, and he stopped going to school the day he realised he knew more than the teachers did." Now, isn't that a blessed state for a young fella, isn't it?
Yeah.
That never happened to either of you, did it?
Less of the guff,
you. For fuck's sake.
Joan Burton.
We'll be back at... That's it. It'd be more like you to spend your time now stopping a hotel that's been set on fire around County Mayo than putting manners on us.
Anyway, back to the
Dylan.
So to wake up one morning and go, or for the penny to drop, where you're sitting there in class and you kind of know, I'm streets ahead of these people.
Yeah, my it's thought process.
Yeah, not in an arrogant way, but just in a realizing.
So he gave up school.
He
sauntered through school.
Yeah, he sauntered.
School was.
So. It was nice to see him, and I wouldn't have hung out with Dylan a fierce amount when we were growing up. We lived in the same square, but we moved in different circles. We would have shared the same friends. So everybody that was friends with me was also friends with Dylan, but with the two circles never joined. And the lady who was run over by the train.
Incredible. I read that story at the time. I think she did an interview in the Guardian maybe last year or something. I read it and I couldn't believe. It took me a while to picture it, put it together. But Jesus Christ, she was incredible.
And the young fellow with the birds.
I loved him as well.
Go back to the lady in the train. She radiated beauty. Her smile and her fucking...
positivity.
Yep, and she was beautiful. And she spoke with everything. Like, just the fucking... for that to happen. And then right at the end, you spoke about being bitter. But then she said, it's my children that are going to use London.
Yeah,
it's frightening though, isn't it?
Oh my God.
Every time I get on a train or an airplane since that, I read that. Or now I've seen her again, it's been jogged again. I'm always like, oh Jesus, be careful you don't fall down.
And the server stuck in the arm that'll work off electrodes from the brain.
It was funny when you said, if your arm gets infiltrated and it starts going up.
Did I say that about the hand job?
You did, yeah. They left it in.
You said I have
an awful bad mind. You said I have a filthy mind.
Because she was saying how it can crush things, you know.
All right, okay. And then the boys at the end.
Love those.
The Mongolian throat singers from Ratolt. They're living in Ratolt.
They are.
Yeah. They're living in Ratolt now.
In the Tibetan takeaway.
That's closed. The Nepali boys in Ennis is closed. They're doing up that. Yeah, they're Mongolian. They're living in Ratolt in a 4-bedroom there.
They're brilliant. They're class. Yeah, I loved the boy with the birds.
Your man with the birds. They're a stamp. That bird that went to Africa and mimics everything it's hearing on its way back. So it's like a passport of what countries it's been to. He was brilliant, wasn't he?
He was lovely, but the information that I was amazed by was the idea of there being a bird belonging in Florida, born and reared in that place, and every ancestor of his coming from that place. And next thing, a fucking storm comes and he's lifted and he's fucking thrown down in Belmullet.
Yeah.
I never realised that when storms moved across the Atlantic like that, they could take little craterines like that and
like
plant
people.
Them down. But isn't it incredible?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All of a sudden, you're going from the hot swamps and the gorgeous heat of Florida, and next thing it's fucking wild wind and rain and Mayo for Sam. Like, how do you...
It's
like the refugees having to be fired into Belmont.
Yeah, but why don't we find out more things like this, Tommy, in the world that's happening? Because they're really interesting things. I suppose that's
because everybody's too busy paying their fucking mortgage, actor. That's why.
Like
paying their the mortgage.
Yeah, that he had a lovely way about him. He had a lovely. He looked like he loves Metallica. He loves his metal. The way he spoke, he was so genuine.
There's a bang of Jesus off him.
Very much there, so.
There was.
Jesus.
But then when he goes, I have a lovely sound for you here now, and it was almost like there was split second waiting for it. And then he just played it. Now, I've started following him in the meantime on Twitter.
Too.
And the other day, he's put up a sound of the wind hitting the gate, a cow gate, the typical wrought iron cow gate that's all
the
over
five
Ireland.
Barrel.
Did you hear it?
Five Barrygate.
And he said, here's the sound of the wind hitting a cow gate, and it's like chimes, and then you can hear a bee coming through. And I just said, fucking hell, man.
What about the cod, though?
He's my new favourite man.
Huh? What about the cod? I would never have... Mm. I did think it was like an old man farting.
Was it like that, was it?
Yeah. The cod. And they're a big, massive fish. Yeah. That was incredible. Well,
ordinary people telling what they're doing. It's just, it's brilliant.
It was a very engaging show, yeah. All in all. Well done, first show.
Yeah, no, well done.
Well, it's the researchers, isn't it?
It's brilliant, but it's a good team.
How they managed to find those people, that's the... I'm just sitting there talking to them, we could be waiting for a bus. Do you know what I mean? That's the nature of it. I'm just waiting for the 18-20... to Virginia,
see
Vietnam,
comes off the bus,
and you're just, you know, whoever sits down beside you, that's,
at the bus
but
stop.
They find them. The researchers find them, and they, you know, they the researchers then have chats with them to see if
they sort of do an interview with them.
Yeah, they have to vet them.
Didn't he reinforce the power of being outside and being modern?
Totally.
And that is just. It's immeasurable.
It's how serene he was, you know, his personality.
Happy.
Yeah. Just,
the love just coming like out of his eyes.
And not stressed about stuff like.
Yeah.
You know, probably has his own stresses and all. And it was interesting to hear about his diagnosis for.
That was awful funny the way he didn't like making eye contact with people. Yeah. So when he was going out with women, he'd say, "You have to sit beside me. We can't look. You can't look at me."
That's brilliant. Imagine.
Yeah. Excellent.
Good kindness. Anyway. Excellent. Anyway.
It's funny, the yardstick I use is for the Rian was lying on the couch, the 19-year-old, and he's lying on the couch and he watched the whole show. And I found him fixated with, he's studying product design. And when they started talking about
that would have been fascinating.
When you get that age group watching it, Tommy, Rian got up the other morning. Well, no, going to bed the other night. It was frosty and foggy. And he goes, about 11 o'clock at night, he turns around to me and his mum and he goes, I'm off in the morning with the boys. They're picking me up at 5 in the morning. And we go, what? Yeah, I'm going climbing Crowpatrick. So he went and climbed Crowpatrick the other morning.
Lovely.
On a frosty morning.
Did he like it?
Four of them went in the
car. Have they changed the ascent to Crowpatrick?
They've made it better.
Have they done something with the shale?
What
have they done?
For 2 years, local lads on a bit of a scheme have put better footing in the whole way up.
Oh, really?
By using the natural, not exactly steps, it doesn't look like steps, but they've cut into the rock a little bit and they've made it more accessible and so not as slippy, and they've used the natural rock, and it's been a 2-year project. So he went up at 5 in the morning the other day and he climbed it, and then I could hear him closing the door at 5 in the morning, and then at 25 past 8 or 1:45 or 8:30, the first pictures came in on the top of Crowpatrick, and it was unbelievable.
Was the idea to be there for the dawn?
Yes, and the first Sunday of the year. Oh, four young lads, 4 19-year-olds.
We need to do it someday. Three of us need to climb
it. He spoke about it brilliantly. He said, Dad, I never knew it was so beautiful. I never knew the climb was so hard. And he said, look at the sunset, look at the sunrise. And he showed me 6 or 7 photos. Here's my 19-year-old talking about sunrise.
So it was a clear day, was it?
It was a beautiful day. Foggy in the beginning and then a beautiful sunrise over Clubay.
And was it Clare Galway lads?
Young lads.
I wonder how they got that idea.
I don't know. What?
Would they be all regular mask goers?
No. Well, now let's just say now they were. No, Jesus.
Like, would you know one end of a thurible from another?
There was a great priest. There was a great priest in Lackey years ago, and when the boys were doing their communion, his name was Father Ned, and his catchphrase was, "Now let's all stand, Jesus." And we'd all elbow each other. Jesus was on the cross. Oh, brilliant. He's long gone, but he's playing golf now, so he's happy.
So that's an amazing thing for a young fellow to choose to do, isn't it? Just to
beautiful.
Yeah, but we were worried about the fog and the frosty roads. And we just said, will you go slow? Because he said, we're going through Ballon Road and we'll turn off in par 3. And we'll go up over the bog road. And then typical parents, will you please drive slowly? Because it's going to be a frosty morning.
Bad road over from...
Yeah, bad road. And then went to Westport for the full fry then at about 10:30 that morning, and then he was home and back in bed at 12 o'clock. His legs, we said, were in bits.
Class, it's brilliant. It's, and do you know John Lennon owned one of those, bought one of those islands? You know, there's 365 islands in Clue Bay, which represent obviously every day of the year. And John Lennon bought one of them.
Not like the other island in the Caribbean.
Oh.
It was the long list.
That's
the
shame.
Long list of lovers islands.
That's oh.
When you got a phone call.
Inish paedophile.
Oh, the Lord Jesus, the shenanigans. Stop. Huh? the stuff they were getting away with at the beginning of the 2000s.
Very civilised.
My word. That's some list, isn't it? We're not allowed to talk about stuff like that.
You're not allowed to talk about anything.
Have you seen the list?
I've seen a few names on it.
Go on then.
Who's on it?
Anyone that's dead, you can say their name.
Oh, they're a fucking prick.
Gandhi.
Red Hurley.
Is he still in it?
Oh, stop, he's still alive.
Red Hurley not dead.
Red Hurley was
Archie Gemmell.
For Scotland.
Jimi Hendrix, no, you want to check out the list. Love Island, huh?
Right, anyway, so we're going to go and climb Kilpatrick and then yeah, we're going to go to a bar afterwards downstairs, or down at the bottom. And we'll
we could do 3 points,
please. Yeah, afterwards. Yeah. Superb. Even though I did climb it once and I swore I would never do it again. It was hell. It was torture. I hated every second of it. But because it's Mayo and it's a pilgrimage trip.
It's just, my memory of it is that the shale.
Yeah, and you're slipping all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they've made that,
they've done a job on it.
Wow.
But there still are the people in the middle of July that'll climb it barefoot and everything.
There's an iconic picture, and it's on cards and all, and it's of a nun climbing Kilpatrick in her bare feet, and it was my aunt. It was like back in the
70s. Course, it had to be one of your aunts.
Well, it was my aunt. She was in her full habit, no shoes on, and she was only a young nun. She's probably like 30 years of age, climbing Kilpatrick bare feet. It was like on the pilgrimage day, whatever it was, first. Third Sunday in July, is it? First Sunday?
The faith is strong in the Blewetts.
Is she still in it?
No, she's passed away.
Is your do you have a nun down two the country?
Aunts. Yeah, two aunts that are nuns. One of them's passed away. And a bishop, obviously, so we're very strong.
And how's the other nun?
She's good. She's in Galway here in Salt Hill. Taylor's Hill.
Is she of an age?
Yeah, she's the youngest of the Blewetts, of the my father's sisters. But she is... very devout and very opinionated.
How many siblings? Like how many was in the father's family?
There was eight.
Eight of them, and how many became religious?
Well, one of them, my uncle, who's passed away since and had a family of seven himself, joined the priesthood in Ireland, but left and went to America. He just couldn't take it.
Yeah, yeah.
So he went to America, and he brought up all his kids there. Saw a few of them when I was over, and so two of them became nuns.
Two out of how many girls?
Out of five girls.
Wow. And was it the smart ones that kind of went on to be nuns?
The oldest and the youngest.
Was that the vibe back then? If you were good at your books and if you were good at this?
Well, I don't know. One of them became a nurse as well. And the other two went to America. And one of them, they both worked in America.
And did the nuns ever talk to you about, oh, Jesus, I wonder what it might have been like to have kids or a family or...
No, but the older aunt, one of them was the principal in a secondary school in Clare and the other was the principal of the national school in Clare. And the one that was the national school teacher was the one that was very much... She was very close to us and she used to spend all her summers with us and she...
And would she take a drink?
Yeah, she'd have a little Baileys. She'd have a little Baileys and ice.
The nuns love Baileys.
Do you know what else she used to drink? Which she used to kill me in her latter years. And I was like, what? We used to have to buy her bottles of Buckfast.
Oh,
no joke. Like
from the Abbey.
Yeah, you'd have to buy her bottles. I used to say to her, what are you doing drinking this stuff? It's disgusting. And
she got as a
teenager, you know, you'd be getting Buckfast and drinking it down the river. Like, and then you're there getting it for your aunt who's a nun and you're like, what are you doing?
Did Buckfast make you hyper drunk?
It was a tonic wine.
It's a tonic wine.
So it was black and it was fizzy. It was disgusting. Yeah, yeah,
but was the buzz speedy and drunky?
Yeah. And that's why it's popular. She'd have a little glass. It's popular in the hostel houses of the country at about 5 in the morning. A cold bottle of Buckfast.
She used to have Buckfast. And she wouldn't drink much now. And
it's
then
it gives you a lift. It's very syrupy.
Yeah.
Sugary.
It's basically like fizzy molasses. Is how I would describe it.
Yeah.
So the other one then doesn't drink and would always have, like, be given out to you for drinking. Now, my older two sisters were always, they had high hopes for them because they used to invite them down to the convents for the summer and they'd have to go and stay in the convents. I never got that call, never was asked to stay over. So they knew there was something wrong with me from the get-go. But they were always...
You would have made a great nun, Larita. Yeah.
Could you imagine, Sister
You would
Larita.
Have made a great nun.
Sister Larita.
Just the
what would have been my strong points?
Your breasts.
I'd be breastfeeding children out in Africa. Yes, I'd be one of those.
Yeah. You'd be walking around Africa and there'd be thousands of kids running after you.
Going up for the hug.
Milk.
Like fellas going after food trucks.
When you're calling sheep to eat here. But my sister told me the other day, she lived with another girl in Galway and they were both single, my sister and her friend, and she used to write letters to God all the time for them, and she'd be saying prayers with them all the time to meet a man. I get stories from her sometimes on Instagram. People who listen to the podcast used to be taught by her and stuff like that.
How are the sisters getting on in Belgium and America?
So they were both home. Katrina's home at the minute.
Katrina's in
Atlanta.
Oh yeah.
Massive Irish community over there, and she's got the kids playing football and stuff over there now. And
settled in.
Does she have the guns?
She hasn't fully broke into the guns just yet, but she's
down to Walmart.
It's on the way. Yeah,
she's
down the rifle range.
She's spending every Saturday in the shooting range.
A couple of Glocks and an AK-47 for himself.
Yeah, exactly. Just buy Christmas presents for everyone with small guns, handguns. Like a lot of the women that she knows, so
carry guns.
They have them in their handbag.
Little pocket pistols.
Yeah, so she walks. The kids get picked up from school 7:15 in the mornings, right? And so she walks them down to the end.
With her AK-47,
with a fucking pistol.
Really here, right? So walking the kids down to school, get picked up on the bus, and there's a house across the road's been renovated. For me, about 10 minutes after she left, the man that was sitting in his van to get started on renovations was fucking killed. Like, this fellow walked past, wanted his van, shot him, pulled him out, drove away in the van and threw him out halfway down the road.
So she's like, carrying
there's
out.
A lot of shooting where she's from because she's in...
It's like Clondalkin.
Will she carry now? Will she carry now all the time over there?
She's to practice first how to use them. And you can, like in Costco, there's always special offers on gun safes.
Walmart, you go into Walmart. And
Costco's a big one now. Costco's the industrial-sized supermarket where you can buy guns on, you know. I think you can buy a gun in Georgia pretty easy. You don't need to do too much background checks right now.
I'd have the night vision goggles.
Oh yeah. I'd have these boots on as well all the time.
You'd be fine. You could go straight at Tommy.
Camouflage gear.
Tommy would be less suspicious in the zip up boots.
Night vision binoculars. There's somebody coming down towards the house. You'd have all these infrared stuff and set up telescopic
shooter
stuff.
Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn.
Floodlights.
The youngest friends would be afraid to call to the house in case you shoot them.
You know, over
that's the thing. Americans say people don't call to their house uninvited or unannounced. Like,
shoot them.
Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know some man over there who's massive into the hunting. He loves sending me pictures of...
But you see, they've
hunted what, poor people?
No.
Hey, what do you do those no, like,
fucking deers and stuff like that.
Like, there's over there in Mississippi and Alabama, and especially in Georgia, you, instead of going to the driving range to drive golf balls, you can go to the shooting range. Now, the shooting range could have a boutique downstairs.
Shoot Mexicans.
Coming across the border.
Right, not a minute.
Border control.
Beep, 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 beep. And they just load them.
Clay pigeon shooting. Release!
Jose, release them, Jose. Abre la puerta por la mexicana. What's he saying? I have to speak Mexican. And they just fill the driving with
no
little Mexicans.
Stop it. Stop it, Hector.
Abre la puerta, Jose, for fuck's sake. And your man would have a semi.
And the fella going around with the fucking shovel digger and then picking them up off.
No!
And the fella clicking golf balls on a driving wrench.
Stop, don't encourage him, Dexter.
You're not allowed to have an opinion anymore. But over there. Over there, you can have a steak upstairs in a lovely restaurant.
Yeah.
And then you can go downstairs with the ladies, with the girls, have a glass of champagne and go in and use your own guns.
Hen parties.
And then you can go down to a boutique store downstairs that not only sells hardware, assault, semi-automatics, AK-47s, but you can go into an area where if you have a Glock, you can have a special lovely handbag by Chanel that fits the Glock in there.
Yeah. And
you can
personalise it.
Yeah, personalise, and you can buy lovely bags and lovely stuff for ladies who don't want to look like they're not carrying all the fashion of the gun.
Unbelievable. And the first billboard I saw when I got onto the highway in Tennessee was shooting range, you know,
that's,
call 1-800.
I'm after the
gun.
Shooting range.
But you never hear of women using those guns.
How do you mean you never heard of them?
I've never heard a news story where.
Because women are more sensible.
They use the guns if they need to. If they need to. When we filmed over there, I went into a hairdresser's in a little village outside of the city, about 20 minutes outside of Atlanta City. And it was a small little area where all the doors were open and everyone carries, and there's no crime here. And I met the Lord Mayor on his Harley Davidson. I walked into a barber stroke hairdresser and I met the boss, and she was there and she showed me what she was carrying. She showed me she had a pink Glock in her handbag. She had another Glock underneath the till, and they used them. They use them.
When you say use them, what do you mean?
She will use them. They threaten
with them, probably.
Yeah, you said she will use them, but how does she use them?
She used it the year before when somebody came to her door. She shot into the air to scare off somebody, an assailant or whatever happens. Like, they're not carrying these things for the crack.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is a deterrent. And in this area, guns are allowed in this little parish just outside Atlanta.
So there's a semi-automatics. What is a fully automatic gun?
Is a semi-automatic? You have to reload after about 50 bullets, 20 bullets. A fully automatic
just, does it just go round and round
all
and
the
round
time itself.
Suit you, it would fucking suit you.
I'd probably get too carried away if I was living over there. I'd probably be at the fucking shooting range every
weekend.
There's
something like 250 million guns or 400 million guns in circulation in America.
Yeah, it's mental.
Million guns.
And you ain't getting them back.
No matter how you do, you're not going to get them back. I said to my sister, can I go to Nashville again? And she lives 3 hours away from Nashville. So I said, oh, could we get a train or something? She goes, oh God, absolutely not. You could get killed stone dead at the trains. Like, there's some really rough parts of Georgia that she said, like, you just don't mix in. You just don't go to.
What has she said about what is the coolest thing about Atlanta? Why?
Well, she does love it. They have a good quality of life there, as in they can head off, you know, on a Saturday morning, 2 hours away, 3 hours away, they're in a completely, you know, different state. They could go for trails. They've just, the weather is the biggest thing. Like, the whole time while I was away, I didn't rain once. Like,
Savannah, Georgia.
It's cold and it's, yeah, Savannah. And then they're right on the border of Tennessee, so they're close to all of that. And they've just got, like, yeah, it's the deep south and it is a bit unhinged.
Racist.
Racist. Very racist. But apart from, I suppose,
it would remind you a lot of parts of Mayo. Apart from the racism, it is lovely.
There's some definitely bigger racism.
And
Ballon
Robe is really, come on, leaps and bounds.
And apart from the racism, it's a lovely place to bring up
and
a family.
The racism. Ballon Robe races. Or racism.
Ballon
Robe racism, July the 6th to July the 9th.
They're going to have their own week.
Ballon Robe racism at the Ballon Robe races.
Ballon Robe.
I'm off to Ballon Robe for the racism.
I've a horse running in the Ku Klux Klan hurdle. And they're off for the Ku Klux Klan hurdle. And it's arson fire over the last. And it's Petrol Bomb and Molotov,
followed by Not in Our Town.
And it's AK-47,
followed by How's Like If Your Daughter Married One of Them.
Get them out, it's coming with a light run. Get them out, we're full. Here comes, we're full. We're full as one in a kind. And he's taking it, he's unbeaten.
Oh, 50 men, 50 men.
What the fuck?
50 unvested men.
But
yeah.
Like, nah.
No, so she does like it, and the kids are fine in school and all, and it's because they're in a public school, they're not in a private school, but it's in a good area, so it seems to be fine, you know. But my cousin, where my cousin is the bishop, he's in Paterson, New Jersey, which is a really, really, really rough area. His brother Brendan, he's an attorney, he says to me, I said, do you go out much? There he goes, oh God, no, you wouldn't be able to leave your car out there or anything. It's like dangerous. And yet, Kevin, who's only 53, is very, you know, much in touch with them all and like committed to that, you know, kind of seeing them and spending time with them and living amongst them. And, you know, he doesn't mind it. Like, it must be tough.
It's part of it storytelling, though. It's part of it. If you, the more you talk about a place being dangerous, the more afraid you feel.
Well, in Ireland, maybe, but in America, it's actually dangerous. But as in with guns and with crime. And I think it's probably poverty is the biggest
totally.
Thing. You know, poverty.
Inequality.
That's the biggest
I've
problem.
An awful grow for California. Mm-hmm. I was watching some movie the other night. Chinatown, set in Los Angeles, actually. And even just the look of the weather on screen made me want to be there.
Mm-hmm. In San Diego, or
this was set in Los Angeles, but anywhere, just the early morning light, the feeling of being close to the Pacific Ocean and the fresh air and the desert, and my mind always goes back to what it must have been like for the Native Americans who were living there, the first peoples of California, you know, living in fluency with rock and hawk and buffalo and ocean. And teepees,
canyons,
and squaws.
Yeah.
Squaw.
Yeah.
Say hello to the squaw. So,
but it would be, yeah.
I have an awful grow for.
Well, and that's Katrina's lucky where she is because she has a really good climate. You know, it's cold at the minute for like basically about a month, and then the temperature goes up.
And do the kids have little racist accents?
Oh, they're fully American, yeah. Mommy, I hurt my leg. They all talk like full on.
They didn't talk like that when they came home for Christmas.
No, they didn't come home
hey,
for
Mom,
Christmas. She came
where's
home
my boots?
No, it's all, Mommy, I want to go to the toilet. It's full. They're full on Americans.
But they're only there for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
that's typical Mayo anyway.
They're at school. They're mixing. All their friends are American.
How can you stop that?
Like, I mean, the youngest one went to school.
Midwest radio, 9 hours a day by the pool in the 42 degrees heat.
It's all like, oh my mommy, where's the trash can? It's they're full on like, full on Americans. And then the worst thing she did, I can say that about Katrina on this podcast, she doesn't listen. But the worst thing that she did was she sent home fucking fridge magnets. With the kids superimposed onto a lake. You know how the Americans do that?
Hey, this is us at Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, you know how the Americans do that thing at Christmas cards?
Oh, God.
They put the whole family in the Christmas card and they send you the Christmas cards. Well, she got individual fridge magnets and my brother sent her a picture and said, it didn't take you long to settle in. So it's full on like to dad.
Is that when they went up to the lake for a weekend in Lake Blano?
Yeah, and it's all like, Mommy, look at me in front of the lake. It's all that sort of
thing. And is there any hassle between, like, remember you were saying about the war, one of the wars that's going on in the minute.
Yeah.
And that the information that the Americans are getting.
Yeah.
And the information that you're getting, that we're getting.
Because we have a proper, news and access to it.
So in terms of them kind of feeling close to the Americans in power, the cousins in power, and you kind of feeling as if we have a... There's a diversion of paths here.
Yeah.
They're not feeling that at all.
You know, you said, Hector, that we're not allowed to say have an opinion on anything. In America, you're less allowed to have an opinion on anything. So they're not able to say anything about anything over there. Well, they just keep their opinions to themselves and don't share them. And, like, the biggest problem is with work. You know, if they have an opinion, they just cannot give it. So they have to keep whatever they're
unless it's super positive and harmless. Like if you believe, if you believe in angels, or you know,
stuff that's
you know, that there's Oprah is
there's
Jesus.
No danger
that's fine. All that stuff is fine, but don't get into any.
Or that Trump is amazing.
Yeah, it's Trump is still a bit of a controversial figure there, even though, yeah, he is. But still, that sort of stuff, you could have an opinion on it if you were cute enough. But the other stuff that's going on at the minute, no opinions. Like, keep them to yourself. Don't share them. Don't, you know, because you just don't know who you're giving that opinion to.
Okay. So you couldn't dress one of the kids up in like a Palestinian flag and send them to school?
For Flag Day, no. Flag Day wouldn't be, it'd be great, it wouldn't be great to put them in a Palestinian jumpsuit. No, it wouldn't be at all. So no, they can't share those opinions. Killian plays basketball. He's tiny, little white boy, and he plays basketball and with the local YMCA, and they're all tall black kids and they never pass him the ball and he can't understand.
Racist, that's yeah, racist.
Only white child around, yeah. So he is, he loves basketball, but he's definitely...
Will he stay for a few years?
Yeah, they could stay for 5 years and then maybe extend it.
What an experience.
But it is a good experience, but it's a kind of... I mean, yeah, the climate is her favourite part of it though. Like, the weather is just brilliant. Like, she lived in Galway where it never fucking stops raining ever. There's some part of Galway every single day that rains. I'm convinced of it. It's got the highest amount of rainfall in Ireland.
Yeah,
it didn't even rain that much in Mayo.
December, late December into January, it was pretty incessant, wasn't it?
But isn't the frost now?
Yeah, the frost is lovely. Yeah,
it was Turlochs. The one that they call a Turloch Moor over the road from me.
Oh, it's flooded.
There were fucking lakes and swans loving it. We are just, where I'm living is just land, the flatland and Turlochs, and just rain. Full of rain, and then the frost has come.
Frost was lovely.
Well, I love the frost and the blue skies, but not the rain is depressing. Do you ever think that she could live there for long periods of time?
It's, I don't want to get into the habit of wishing me life was elsewhere or thinking that, oh, once this is done, I'll be okay. So it's about the here and now being fantastic. But I suppose part of that is being open to whatever might happen in the future. So you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know what would happen.
Yeah. Like, a friend of mine who is American and has a business there and all that, because I'm always saying how I love America, you know, and anytime I'm there, he's like, I can get you a visa. Like, I could get you on my books now and get you a visa and you could come and live here. And then you're kind of like, oh, you know, when it goes down to it and you get the opportunity, you're kind of like, yeah, I think holidays to America are better than actually living there full time.
I think I'll go back over and see that when I met a load of the Boston crew at Nan Evelyn's funeral, all the Boston cousins. There's a great...
Or a Boston is Ireland.
It's but there's something... It is a good sporting city as well. There's something about...
And would they be on the edge of criminality as well, those lads? Like, could go over and rob a bank.
Spend a day with them.
Our Town, the Ben Affleck movie where everybody's involved
let's just
in something.
Say, let's just say... That
what's the name of the parish?
It's Dorchester.
Dorchester.
Oh, I lived let's in Dorchester.
Let's just say,
oh,
my
I
wife's family, Dipna was born in Dorchester.
Dorchester.
My wife was born in Dorchester.
You say nothing to the cops. 161
Patrick's Avenue. Well, she was born there. She raised
North Monroe Terrace. That's where I lived.
Dorchester, and now they're all out in Quincy.
Well, that's nice, Quincy. Is that
they
in the
Pat's
water?
Pizza. They have a they have a massive money laundering operation. They have a huge business called Pat's Pizza, who did the catering for the Ted movie, by the way.
Oh, class.
And they're very good friends with the Dropkick Murphys, all my wife's side there in Dorchester. But I like
shipping up
there's
to
something different. I know it's Ireland and all that over there, a lot of Irish, but there's something about the Bostonians. They're different.
They're good crack, Hector.
Yeah. What's your man's name? What's your man's name? Mickey something, that fucking criminal that used to beat people over there.
The boxer?
Oh, no, White.
Buxy White. Duxy White.
Bulger. Whitey Bulger.
And House of Pain and all that. There's something I'd like to go over there because of the pain.
I do want
to just go over there for a while and get involved with some local trafficking. Trafficking narcotics.
You can bring some butter over or something.
No, yeah, just trafficking dairy gold in and copious amounts of dairy gold.
Tea. They love tea.
With six containers arriving at the ferry, your fucking dairy gold and putching. Could you imagine? From a
with the Wahlbergs and the
Wahlbergs, yeah.
And you meet at 6 a.m. down by the jetty.
Donnie,
hey, is that Putchin in from Ireland? But no, look, that's the connection there. But I don't know if I could live in America. No.
There's nothing stopping you, though, Larissa, from moving, really, is there?
No, there isn't, I suppose. You could move there. But I lived in Boston for 4 months and I loved Boston. And it was kind of, it was 20 years ago, so it wasn't as... And anyway, Boston is like living in Ireland. It's not... It's so Irish. Like, you walk down the street and you... Like, you could be in Galway or you could be in Dublin, you know. Me and Audrey were walking down the street one day. This taxi driver pulls up. He goes... Girls, you don't look like you're from here. And we were like, we're not from here. We're just after arrival. And hey, it was a taxi.
Oh, the wind is going up your skirt.
And he goes, get into this car immediately. You're in a really bad area right now. And we were like, we will do no such thing. Get into the car with you. And we said, sure, you could be a big axe murderer or a killer or anything. And he goes, look, I'm Irish. I'm a taxi driver. But I just know that you're not in a safe place. So where do you live? I'll drop you home. And don't you ever walk down the street ever again. Like, it was rough. It was so rough in Dorchester. Because Dorchester was, it's much more funkier now. I was there recently.
Yeah, Dipna's cousin, one of the lads, Bobby, was shot. He was shot there.
Every single night.
What happened?
He was at the supermarket. He pulled in. He got it shot in the fucking thigh. Just got shot. A random shot. He got shot. There was a fucking holdup.
Yeah.
And Bobby got shot in the thigh. Bobby survived.
In his thigh.
Oh, in his thigh. Got shot in the thigh.
Louisa thought he had to meant T-I-E.
Yeah, I did. That's what you were saying. It's thigh.
If he got shot in the thigh, he'd fucking die. Navajo
people don't know how to pronounce your T-H's.
He got shot in his trousers.
He got shot in his trousers. But I told you that the her cousins would be there. Tipna studied Spanish for years. And they go, you still fucking studying that spick language? So it's just gone.
What happened to Bobby? Like, so
Bobby got shot.
So what happened? So he drove down to the shop.
Something at 7 o'clock in the evening. He got shot at the local fucking
Central
liquor store. Yeah.
7-Eleven. It's all 7-Eleven.
He got shot. He was shot.
And did they find the guys who did it?
No, it was a fucking...
They never find the guys who do it.
They never find anyone who does anything. He just got shot and he was all right. He survived. But if like...
Was he traumatised by it?
I don't know. Bobby got on with it. But these are... It's interesting.
Does he have a limp or anything?
No. He still works
straight through.
I think he worked... All of them over there work for Union 323 or 317 or 319. The way it works over there is genius. It's like the county council in Ireland.
Okay.
And it's all run by the Irish. And over the years and over the generations, the Irish have worked their way from driving the trucks and gritting the roads and doing that to going into the office, to going up the office and up the ladder and up the ladder. So it's just like the NYPD. The top of the top are Irish and they run it. And it's the same with the county council in. So it's if you work for Union 323, you're the snow guys. You're on the snow patrols. You grit the fucking roads. We're fucking our own guys. I take care of my own guys. I've got 800 guys in Union 323 and we fucking grit the roads because we've been gritting the roads for fucking years.
Yeah.
And we know how to fucking do it. Minus 40 fucking 7. And that's what they do. And then if you're in 316, then you're in charge of the windows on all fucking civil servant buildings because we're the fucking window guys. My grandfather came for fucking Ross Mark. He didn't have a fucking window in his fucking dad's cottage. We're fucking in charge of the windows. So the Irish run Boston, and that's why you're saying it. So they've gone up there, and then when you man the mayor,
who's Marty?
Marty from fucking Connemara, his great grandfather Mohin Hanair for fucking us Connemara. I guess we Marty a lot, Coyle. But that was their heyday when Marty was the Lord Mayor or was the Mayor of Boston from Connemara.
Yeah.
It was like fucking Derby O'Gill.
And he was wearing the Galway jersey.
But that's how they run it. So that's how everything operates.
That's definitely right. But
hey,
great times.
That's all I want to say today. Hey, no more fucking...
You tell Bobby I say hello.
I'll tell all in Pat's Pizzas in Dorchester. They have a fucking great operation going there. They fucking know how to make pizzas in Pat's Pizza.
It's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.